Throughout the Gospels, there are all too many times when Jesus expresses his frustration with the disciples who are surrounding him. Time and again, they just don't seem to get it. They don't seem to get him. They don't get his teachings, or they doubt his capacity to heal, or they question who he's deciding to hang out with, or they worry and wonder about his talk of sacrifice and what it means to give up everything and to follow him. Now, having worked as an elementary school teacher for a number of years, I understand that frustration. In my third grade classroom, I worked very hard with my students to create certain norms and expectations for our common life as we move through the year. For example, one of those norms was that during the writing time, the creative writing time, which we had every day, we tried to make sure that it was a quiet time for everyone. No conversations, dedicated, focused time to writing, no interruptions even by the teacher walking around to comment on what students were doing. For a period of time, you were at your desk and you wrote without being disturbed. But of course, there we were one day, well into the year, when the norm had been established, when Alex and Mandy, who sat next to each other, seemed oblivious to it all. Time and again, they started up a conversation. Time and again, they saw me at the back of the room, glare at them, and they would get back to work, only in a few moments to start talking again. So finally, I called them to the back of the room, and in my frustration, I explained that I should not have to keep reminding them to be quiet, and said in exasperation, "So why do you keep talking after I told you so many times to stop?" And without missing a beat, Alex looked at me, shrugged his shoulders, and said, "Because we're children?" And it took me more than a moment to get that smile off my face and get back to the serious look and send them back to their desks. Of course, they were children. They were learning to create appropriate work habits, but they were also children. Why would I expect perfect behavior that is sometimes even difficult for adults? And I'm sure you can tell your own stories of children or of adults in your lives who continually do not seem to get it, no matter how hard you try. But if that is a theme that runs through our lives and through the Gospels, then it's important for us to recognize another theme and another truth. A truth we hear today in Jesus' words as framed in John's Gospel. The Gospel lessons we've been hearing these last couple of weeks come from what is often described in John's Gospel as the farewell discourse. It's a long, extended passage that takes place at the Last Supper, where Jesus is preparing the disciples for his arrest and his death. He's preparing them for their lives without his earthly presence. You might say he's creating an operating manual for the new community that's going to emerge. And what you'll notice in these words that he offers, particularly in this passage today, is not an attitude of frustration or of disappointment or even of judgment, but rather one of confidence. A confidence that Jesus has that his followers will be able to continue in the ways that he has taught them, that indeed they will embody the very love which he has offered them so that they might offer it to the world. Jesus Christ's confidence and trust in them. Jesus Christ's confidence and trust in you. Jesus Christ's confidence and trust in the community of St. John's. Is that something you reflect on as you consider your relationship to Jesus? Jesus is confident that we will love one another even as he loves us. He's confident that we will even go so far as to lay down our lives for the life of a friend. It's a tall order, at times impossible to fulfill. We know that. One of the most fervent followers of Jesus knew that. The Apostle Paul knew that Jesus had set the bar high, and yet he knew of his own weaknesses and failures. Recall his words of confession to the church in Rome. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very things I hate. In other words, acting like a child. Paul knew all about human failings, just as we do, and it's why we include a prayer of confession in most of our regular Sunday liturgies. But during this Easter season, we omit that prayer of confession. And it's not because we've been stellar human beings the last few weeks, but rather because the intense focus of our worship in this Easter season is on what God has done in raising Jesus from the dead and what the risen Christ is doing in the life of his people, empowering them, sending them out, and yes, instilling within them a sense of confidence about what they are capable of doing. I did have to laugh at my student Alex's response to my question and at my own silliness for even asking the question, for he was speaking the truth. Indeed, he was still a child. He was doing what children do, and we don't quite say it that way. Paul didn't quite say it that way. We have other phrases. Sometimes they're actually offered as moments of grace when we see another person struggling with the mistakes he or she has made, or being caught up in failures from the past. And we say, give yourself a break. You're only human. You're only human. Or we use that phrase as a means of defense for ourselves when we recognize our own inability to love or live as we wish we could. We're only human. And sometimes those words become an indictment. Striking statement of the truth. On this Rogation Sunday, as we prepare to bless the good gardens that God has given us, we do so living through a time in which we see the continual degradation of our environment. Some scientists are saying we need to come to have a new name for a new era we're entering into, the Anthropocene era. That is to say, an era drastically and dramatically affected by human behavior. And the degradation is so threatening that we might have cause for despair and throw up our hands and say, but after all, we're only human. But Jesus proclaims another truth. He has seen the disciples act like children. He has seen them act in the role of a servant to a master. But then he says this, I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. No longer servants, no longer children, but friends. And as friends, we are given the ability to act responsibly, maturely, and to have the capacity at times to move beyond our own self-interests, beyond our own instincts for self-preservation, and to go forth and bear fruit. And if we have any doubt that Jesus has confidence in us, then we need to listen to these words as well from this passage. For Jesus told the disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in him in my name. I don't know if you noticed the subject heading for the hymn we sang just before the gospel reading, but it's a hymn that's suggested for confirmation services. And when Douglas first selected it, I thought, confirmation? But then, of course, I read the first words of the hymn. We are here at your own invitation. You have chosen us. And I thought back to my own confirmation class all too many years ago in the Hackensack United Methodist Church. I still remember the book that we eighth graders had to read The title of it was, I Choose the Church. And as I look back on that time, I recognize that I spent a lot of effort wondering if I was ready, and maybe more importantly, if I was worthy to make a commitment to Jesus Christ and to the church. For after all, I knew I was human. Though I was in eighth grade and not third, I knew that after all, I was still a child. What I didn't realize at the time, and have probably spent a lifetime learning since then, was that even as I was struggling with my choice, Jesus had already made his. Jesus had chosen me. Jesus had chosen us in that class. Jesus had chosen that community of Methodists in Hackensack to gather week after week. Even as Jesus chooses this community to gather in his name, to be fed at his table, to be equipped and appointed to go forth with confidence, to bear fruit, to act in love. For after all, we're not just children. We're not just humans. We are friends. Thanks be to God. Amen.